Namaskar. I am Aastha Shah, an intern at NGO39, and I have with me today Ms. Ritika Sahani, founder trustee of NGO39. And we are going to be your hosts for today's podcast. For our very first podcast, we are glad to have with us Mr. Shyamdev Den Mukherjee, who is a senior manager at Enable India, Bangalore. And during the course of our conversation, we will get to know more about his work. Den is a person of many talents. He indeed has a lot of feathers in his cap. He has been an RJ, a TEDx speaker, actor, author, but most importantly, in his own words, a mad storyteller. Mr. Mukherjee, who is also known as the Stephen Hawking of Kolkata, was born with a rare genetic disorder, dopamine responsive dystonia, a disorder that involves involuntary muscle contractions, tremors, and other uncontrolled movements, as a result of which Den was non-verbal till the age of 25, which one will have a hard time believing if they meet Den now. So, Den, over to you. How are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm feeling great. Absolutely great. 39E as an organization is really close to my heart. And Ritika ma'am, as a teacher, who had been my teacher for a long time in my life. During that time, especially when I could not speak, I was an AAC user. AAC means that augmentative and alternative communication user. During that time, Ritika ma'am had been my teacher. And yeah, I'm feeling really great today to be a part of this podcast.
I'm delighted, Den, to have you as our first guest. And now that you have jumped right into AAC, over to Aastha for your first question.
Yes. Since you mentioned AAC, could you please tell us what does it mean?
AAC is a method of having an alternative method to augment the communication of people having complex communication needs. So there, when I was a non-speaking person, I had to use alternative methods like communication boards. And thereafter, I used technology. The technology was used by, the same technology was used by Professor Stephen Hawking for communicating. So that technology was really expensive, and I'm really grateful to my family, extended family, who actually got me that software and the laptop during those days in 90s, mid part of 90s. Because without that, my gathering of knowledge won't have happened. I keep on talking about knowledge because I did not accomplish my final or formal education actually till the time I was 27, because after I started to speak, my parents wanted me to go for my class 10, class 12 and grads, and therefore I could go for my open education and I could complete my education. But with that, I would never forget those days when I could not speak, but I represented India in various conferences around the world and spoke about Indian situation in AAC, augmentative and alternative communication, because I felt during that time as a non-speaking person that there are so many things that can be easily sorted out if we have a clear bit of communication. So when you don't have something at that point, you cherish the value of that.
So then when you said software or technology that Mr. Hawking also used, what is it called? Could you share that with us?
It is called Easy Keys. EZ, capital E, small Z, keys. KEYS. Easy Keys. So that particular software had an auto-scanning system. A light would move on the first on the lines, and then if I clicked with my tongue or eye blink on the switch, because I had no voluntary control over any of the muscles of my body. The only voluntary control I had primarily was on my tongue, and gradually it was developing a pre-malignant condition. So my father, who had been a doctor, identified a situation where he recommended me and my occupational therapist to identify an alternative method other than my tongue. So there, during that time, I blink switch. A small bit of infrared would touch my eyes, and if I blink, it would break the signal, and that signal would go to the computer, activate the software. So the software would scan line wise, tuck, 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 line wise, and then if I clicked once, it would go into the alphabets, and I would choose the alphabet from the specific lines. And it was the first thing that I got introduced to AI, because as I typed words, yes, various words, those words got memorized by the software, and next time that I wrote a sentence, those words would come as my options of words to be used.
Wow, you're right. So in fact, that's exactly why in your introduction, Astha said that we wish people could see you now. Mm. From someone who was unable to use their hands to be able to type, to use their hands to be able to access the computer. Because I remember seeing you it was somebody else who had the head pointer, correct? Or did you have the head pointer? Or you used to use your tongue?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you used to use your tongue.
Yeah.
And I must share this with our friends who are listening to this podcast, that Den at the moment uses, of course, a wheelchair, runs around, wheels around everywhere in the city of Bangalore where he stays. And it's an incredible journey for somebody who has been nonverbal, who's had difficulties, who's had to have people helping him with the manual chair, to someone who now wheels himself with the help of his feet. You know, he kind of uses his feet, and with what speed he manages to kind of whiz past most of us who are walking and are trying to catch up with him. Astha, what next question do you have for him?
Then, since all of us collectively mentioned the power of communication and you being nonverbal, how about we get our audience to understand what being nonverbal actually means?
Nonverbal means there are two sides of nonverbalism. One is people who are deaf, who use sign language, and who use sign language very frequently and easily for their daily needs. It's a language that they use. That is one portion where speech is not used. And another part is people who use AAC because they have complex communication needs, because with my hands even, I cannot use sign language. And with my deaf colleague, I cannot use sign language to interact or exchange my points. So my hands are deformed. And with this deformed hand, I cannot use sign language. Some people are having quadriplegia. They won't be using their hands for sign language. And therefore, we have to have that system which would enhance our communication competence.
All right. So since you mentioned AAC and medical treatments, I'd like to ask you, back in the 80s and 90s, while you were growing up, what kind of support did you get from the medical fraternity?
I had been very fortunate. My father had been a doctor. He did all the treatments, symptomatic treatment, because there was no permanent treatment which were available during that time. Okay. Because the issue that I have is a rare genetic disorder, as you have told. And that rare genetic disorder was identified in the world in 1995. And you take 5 more years to go through the trials and all, and then also it's so rare that it's a one in a million situation, that thing that I have, which is called DRD, dopa responsive dystonia. But DRD is something that masks cerebral palsy, because primarily I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And even now, lots of people with cerebral palsy, if and when they are tried with dopamine, we never know what kind of reaction that can show in their metabolism.
Right, correct. Since you also mentioned that, you know, fortunately your father was able to help you to the best of his abilities, I want to ask you about the same. How important do you think that your family's contribution was towards your rehabilitation to living with your disability?
I am very fortunate to live and kind of in a joint family structure in India, which is the basic ethos in our childhood days. Most of our family were never a nuclear family like today's. We are segmentized and we are nuclearized in our family structure. And this actually is detrimental for any kid, not only person with disability, for any kid, because automatic socialization does not happen. So when I was brought up in 1980s, 90s, during that time, I was brought up in a joint family of Calcutta, and in that joint family, in that big house that we have even now, but the family is not there anymore. It's fragmentized, and there I was brought up. Every evening when the full family sat together, had a cup of tea in their hand, we had various kind of discussions, starting from world politics, starting from history, world geography, kind of astrology, astronomy, mythology, every other thing. And those kind of discussions actually helped me to grow and gather knowledge, because you need to remember that I was never a part of formal education system till the time that I was 27.
You still live with your family?
That is a story. That is a story. Because I am recovering now, but I have reached an optimal portion of recovering, and I will not recover anymore, because the permanent deformities in my body would stay forever. I stay in Bangalore with severe disability with a caregiver, and that is something which is very challenging in Indian context, because migrating to a new city and coming and doing a job in a new city and with especially with severe disability, with multiple disabilities, is really, really challenging, which I took on because I really wanted to come out of my comfort zone, and I wanted to live my own life, and I wanted to earn enough so that I can, my future can be secured, my aspirations can be covered. Because when a person with disability is born in a family in anywhere in the world, not in India, anywhere in the world, first thing that is taken out of the context is a individual aspiration, and there the problem begins. Because if you are not having the aspiration, then you are not going to grow ever.
Do one of your aspirations even include getting married?
Yes, obviously. But I had a very bad breakup just before the time that I came to Bangalore, and yes. Who doesn't like to have a family? I also would like to have a family. I also would like to have a family to whom I can go back in the evenings when no one is there around me. Because my mom is there. She's aging now. She's 67. Practically, she would be there. But she would ultimately outlive me. And when she outlives me, I would be all by myself. And who doesn't want a family?
Right. It's very valid. Secondly, you hosted an event for Inclove, that is an online dating app for people with disabilities. I want to ask you, have you ever had the experience of joining one of these apps? Have you ever tried your hand at dating apps? How well has that worked out for you?
I haven't tried out any dating apps because my relationships are organically grown. I met somebody in person, we interacted with each other, we started liking each other, we asked each other out, and that's an organic way of growing a relation that happened with me. But when you have a very bad and harsh breakup, it takes lots of time to recover. So yes, people keep on telling me that that I have never been alone this long in my life. I should get into a relation, but still I'm preparing and still I'm apprehensive of getting into a relation, and that's why I don't use certain dating apps that are there available for us.
All right, so let's change this because we don't want you to get sad. And I think that's very important for our listeners to understand that there could be somebody who's been nonverbal, who now speaks, and we can hear you doing that, who represents India even now in various places, who travels extensively, says has multiple disabilities, lives with multiple disabilities, lives alone, has the desire to be loved and love. So people with and without disabilities, we are so... There are so many similarities between us, but as non-disabled people, we are always trying to figure out how different we are. We are different, and we all are different. So the viewers can't see it, but Mr. Den is constantly opening. He has his finger up, so he wants to say something, and we're going to get him to say it. Yes, Den.
So you know, when ultimate inclusion happens, because my study goes back to history. And we have seen in history that marriages has brought societies together, right? So eventually, when not between disability, inter-disability marriages, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about person without disability getting into a relationship and marrying a person with disabilities. During that time, our inclusion would be successful. Because during that time, social acceptance, regardless of the gender, would come across and in real. And this is, in this podcast, this is the first time that I am talking about this particular philosophy that I have.
Thank you so much, Den, for our first podcast. The reason I wanted personally to have you, there was no two ways in my mind that we should have Den, is because I'm aware of the kind of self-advocate you are, the kind of person who, in inverted comma, normalizes things. And I wish people could see that. You travel extensively, Den, because of your work. It'll be very interesting to know the challenges you have, or any interesting moments, feelings that you've had while you travel, whether domestic or international.
Challenges are always going to be there. For traveling, challenges are always going to be there. But if we are afraid of war and sit at home, my grand had been an army officer. My mamu had been an army officer, and my mamu had been an Indian army commando, para commando. So challenges are always going to be there. And when you are having the challenges, you have two options. You can sit at home and do nothing, or you can go out, face the challenge. So I love the surrounding. I love to travel. So I don't want to give up that because of the inaccessibilities that we might have in the surrounding areas. Because in India and in anywhere in the world, the best solution are us people. And when we ask for a support to people, that is no... People talk about... According to me, people are talking too much about self-esteem and self things, because self brings ego in your mind. And when you talk about self, you must need to understand that if you are talking about self, you are closing a factor of interaction. So asking for help and taking help is not something that diminishes your self-esteem. That doesn't happen. your self-esteem is with you. And where you want to take it forward, you can take it forward. So in my traveling, I'm really grateful that Enable India, the organization that I work in, has put me into a job profile where I'm repeating it. Enable India, where I work, is a esteemed organization which has put me up in a job profile where I have to travel. And regardless of my disability, I have to travel. And this is one of the key components of inclusion by an organization. They have noted the abilities. They have noted the strength areas. They have not changed my job profile. They have kept the job profile that I can work in, I can perform in. And therefore, I can travel, I can move around, I can go. And my fear of traveling was implanted or imparted in me by my parents. Because during that condition also in my previous, I call it previous life, because I have two life, I've lived two life in one lifetime. In my previous life till 25, my parents took me out. My parents took me out in trains. Never, we were from a very middle class family. My father couldn't afford a flight ticket. So I always traveled in trains, Indian Railway. And that was a wonderful opportunity for me to mix and intermingle with people from various cultural backgrounds.
And that shows in the kind of person you've become, Den. Astha has a very interesting question about Bangalore.
Yeah, since he mentioned that you live in Bangalore, which is the IT hub of India, but also debatably, the traffic hub of India. I want to ask you, do you like the long commutes from one place to another?
If I have a long commute, I sleep because I have insomnia. Unless I'm traveling to an interesting place, I would sleep in the car to utilize my time in a proper way. So I have no problem in taking long kind of traffic on because I can sleep during that time.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
There's a silver lining on the cloud. Again, my next question would be to you about Bangalore. What do you try to do in your spare time? Are there any clubs, any restaurants that you've visited and you'd recommend others to visit?
And pub hopping. What about that?
And pubs as well that you'd recommend us to visit while we're in Bangalore.
I in Korbangala, there are lots of things that in Indiranagar, there are lots of things. And anyone wants to make friends with me, just get in touch in Bangalore. I will take you out. Anytime, I'll take you out.
That's a very, very, you've answered this question. The question is, we can just Google to find out then what we need to do in Bangalore. I want to know, what do you do? Do you go about, do you dine? Do you go to party?
I always go to pubs, bars, dinners, parties. And on
what's your favorite drink?
I am a Scotch drinker.
Whiskey. All right. So, yeah. Okay. So I can meet. The next time I come, you and I will have a drink together then.
This habit also was imparted to me by my father because so inclusion starts from family. So when my 18th birthday came, my father took a glass, took a peg of whiskey for him and me. And I couldn't drink during that time because I couldn't hold, I couldn't kind of raise my hands during that time. My hands were like on my chest all the time because you won't be able to see me. If I could describe you during that time, I would need a special sitting arrangement to sit. I would need everything special and my body would be absolutely stiff in nature. So during that time, my head would not like, won't hold held up, won't be kind of in a proper position. My head would be going back. And in that condition, my father would bring a peg of whiskey, blend with water, and he would pull my hand with lots of effort to touch that, and he would cheers the whiskey glasses, and he would kind of give me the first sip like that. So that is also something that I inculcate from my father, and I miss him. Yeah. I miss him really. So I love to go around. I love to go around, and I'm a movie buff. I'm a movie buff. And on weekends, I survive on OTT platform because I have bought licenses of 5 or 6 OTT platforms, whichever OTT platforms are there. And I love movies, and my final aspiration in life is to make a movie before I die. So I want to make a movie.
With you as an actor in it?
I want to direct that movie because I cherish direction more than acting. Though people say that I'm a wonderful actor, but I know that I'm a better director than an actor.
So if you had to direct, would it be, do you think it would be something to do with disability, or it will be just a fiction story? What would it be?
I believe in emergence. If the story emerges to be a disability-centric story, it would be a disability-centric story. If it is a regular story, it would be a regular story. I have 3 or 4 concepts in my mind, and I'm looking for an appointment. I don't know how would I get that. I'm looking for an appointment with Aditya Chopra, because recently I saw a documentary of Adi where he was telling that I'm here to make new movies and help people to make new movies. So that documentary I saw where it motivated me. So I'm looking to meet Aditya Chopra. So I don't know whether I would be able to do that.
Let's hope this podcast can be heard by everybody, and Aditya Chopra gets to know about it. How, you never know. Life is very beautiful, Den. It's mysterious. It's unpredictable. Anything is possible.
Life is beautiful and full of surprises.
Yes, anything is possible.
Just that you need to communicate everything.
Absolutely. You need to specify what you want.
You need to specify, and I believe in one of the thoughts of Professor Dr. Alu Abdul Kalam. Dr. Kalam, in his autobiography, Wings of Fire, he told that when you dream something, dream it or desire it so passionately that every night that you go to sleep, the last thought that you have is about the dream that you are, or that aspiration that you are willing to achieve. So that aspiration goes into the ether, becomes more powerful, comes back to you when you are awake the next day. And therefore, Dr. Kalam succeeded in his life.
Well, that is indeed very inspirational. And I'm sure our listeners are going to be very thrilled for hearing these words of wisdom from you. Is there anything lastly that you would like to share with our listeners?
Srinayani has taken me back in time with this podcast. Back in time means that those days when I used to do the radio show, those days when I used to work and record the shows, and I had recorded 822 shows with new contents every time, every day. Those days are the days that I would remember throughout the life. And I remembered those days even more today with this podcast. And I really want to thank Trianani. And I must say one particular thing, that people with disabilities need to get opportunities. Once you give that opportunity, wait for some time, because unless you wait for some time and give the person time to perform and facilitate the person to perform, the person cannot perform. This is not about disability. This is about everybody. So come out of your mental blockades. Give enough opportunities. Give enough space. Give enough opportunities. And you will see that without charity, people with disabilities will be equal contributors in the developing economy of the world.
Thank you so much, Den, on behalf of Astha and me. It's been absolute pleasure to have you for the very first podcast that Trinani's ever done. I hope you know this is the first time that we're getting into the into this space of podcast, and I am absolutely delighted to have you as our first guest. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Trinani.